Okay, let's talk about the learning process in tennis, and this is really about, you know, how do you learn the strokes, how do you learn the strategies, the court positioning, how do you learn the emotional, the mental part of tennis, how do you improve, you know, basically just how do you get better in certain areas. And really, there's four simple steps that I've kind of boiled down over my decades of teaching, that if you go through the four steps, which is really a process, and they really sort of have to be done in a specific order, and you can't skip one. If you're trying to look for a quick fix in tennis, it just does not work. The game is too difficult. It's too hard. And, you know, back to the old cliche, if it was that easy to learn, that we really would not have much fun with the game. And, you know, one of the great things that I think about is great about tennis is that it is not an easy game. There is a certain degree of difficulty of learning it, which requires that you really devote some time. And if you do that and really go through the learning process, it is so rewarding and it's so much fun once you feel that tangible feeling of having improved on something. So, you know, let's chat a little bit about this four-step process that I encourage all my students to go through. And again, if you miss one of these steps, it's most likely not going to work in terms of making some significant change to your game. And the first step is really getting the right information. At some point, you've got to recognize that you need help in a specific area of your tennis game. And once you've decided that, you need to get the right information of what it is that you want to do. And really, the best way of deciding what that right information is simply going to a tennis teaching professional, and either getting a lesson or a series of lessons. Certainly, there are books and CDs, DVDs that really can enhance your learning experience. They obviously give you some great visual demonstrations, illustrations of what it is that you're trying to do. So those are certainly great, you know, great learning tools also. But at some point, you really have to decide, here's the information that I'm looking for. What you don't want to do is go through the learning process and at some point get discouraged, because when you do make significant changes to your tennis game, there is invariably going to be that point in time where you bump up against a little roadblock where things are not easy, things are getting a little tough. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, then this is just not working. This is the wrong information. I'm going to go try something different. And you don't really want to do that. You really want to make sure that the information that you've got, whether it's from your teaching pro, whether it's from a teaching manual, a book, a videotape, CD, DVD, whatever it is you've got, that you stick to that. That's the one that you're going to stick to. So I would encourage you to do a little research first before you decide what is quote-unquote the right information. Once you've done that, you need to now go ahead and carve out, and this is kind of item number two of the learning process, or step number two, is that you've got to carve out some learning time. And you know, I would get organized first, that if you want to make some changes and you look at your schedule, whether it's work, whether it's kids, whether it's work and kids, and you've got other hobbies, and you just don't see anywhere in your weekly schedule to carve out some learning time, you know, you may not be a candidate for you know, facing up to the reality that you just may not be able to make some changes. Because if you don't have learning time in there, practice time where you get to tinker with whatever it is that you're trying to change, it is not going to happen. This is not a quick fix type of deal, where, you know, someone can give you a little bit of information, and the next thing you know is you study it for an hour or two at home, and then you go out and you've got it. This really does require some organized learning and practice time. So you're going to have to be able to find some practice time. And practice time really takes up a couple of different arenas, a couple of different forms. Number one, it could be simply you've got a practice partner that you can go out in the court with, and on this particular day, you know, you're not going to play. You're not going to play matches. This is not a social event. This is going to be a time where you and your practice partner have decided that, you know, you're going to get, let's say, half of the time to work on whatever it is that you want to work on that particular day. And you may, for example, if you're working on a forehand volley, you may ask your practice partner, you know, I need 10 minutes on playing forehand volleys from this part of the court, and then we can work on 10 minutes whatever you want to work on, and then want to come back and work on the forehand volley on a different part of the court or from a different part of the court. You know, that's a very valuable part of your practice time. You could also get in the ball machine. You know, ball machine is just an unbelievably great way of being able to tinker with the different feels, the different techniques and mechanics of strokes, where there's not the element of having another human there who can easily influence, you know, how you're doing. And so, you know, whether it's a backboard, whether it's a hitting net, or whether it's a ball machine, that is a vital teaching practice time that you ought to have in your practice, in your overall practice schedule. Other things are, and these are two other things that I do whenever I want to get ready for a tournament or whenever I want to make a little change to my game. And I certainly encourage my students to do this. Number one is to do what I call some shadow boxing, which is you get in front of a mirror. You know, you get home and you get in front of a mirror. Obviously, you don't have a ball, but you go through the mechanics where you can see yourself doing them and doing them properly. And you want to take two different angles. Number one, you want to see yourself in front of the mirror where you're looking directly on at you as if the video camera is looking directly in front of you. And then you also want to have the mirror at the angle where it's looking at your side as you're going through this particular set of motions of the stroke that you're trying to improve upon. It's vital that you get to see yourself doing it. And the mirror is one way to do it. Another way to do it is with video. If you've got a video camera yourself, you can go ahead and set it up out in the court, have someone hit some balls to you, or you can ask someone to come out and videotape you as you're doing that. And then the other thing that I like to do that is it's just an amazing learning tool is what's called visualization. And visualization is about a 2-minute process where you simply sit down, you shut your eyes, and you see yourself going through this new stroke that you're trying to work on. And you know, you really need to know what it is first that you're trying to do before you can effectively do any good visualization. So make sure that you've got the information right, that you've done some practicing, so you kind of have a feel for when you've done it right, of what it feels like. And then you can take that and you can sit down a couple of minutes a day in some quiet spot and just shut your eyes and simply visualize. See yourself doing, in your mind's eye, see yourself performing that shot, doing that shot, you know, going to that part of the court that you want to work on, whether it's maybe a, you know, strategy in singles or a strategy in doubles, or if it's simply a way that you want to react emotionally in certain situations and matches. You can learn so much faster if you will visualize yourself being successful in those mechanics, in those core positionings, in those strategies, and also the mental part of the game. If you will do that 2 minutes a day, you won't believe how much quicker you will make changes to your game. The third component to the learning process is your willingness to learn by making mistakes and doing so in a real positive environment. It's really easy to go out and try to make some changes and get frustrated that whatever change that you're trying to affect in your game is not working out. And whether it's in practice or whether it's in matches, as soon as you make a mistake, if you get upset, if you get ticked off, what's going to happen is it's going to shut down the learning experience. And so what I'm going to ask you to do here is that third component, which is accepting the willingness to make mistakes as you learn, and to do so in such a way that you really create a positive environment, that as soon as you make that mistake, that you now have a reference of, well, this is the mistake because of, you know, there could be a whole host of reasons. But if you allow yourself to make the mistake and learn from it, you'll really give yourself a great reference point of this is not the right way to do it, as opposed to those times when you do it. And you know as well as I do, when you do it right, it's so easy to learn from doing it right. Part of the learning process is being able to identify when you're not doing it right, and you need to be almost non-emotional. You need to be positive when you make those mistakes. And in fact, what I encourage my students when we're working in lessons is when they make mistakes, I try to make sure that they understand that's great. It's great that you're making those mistakes because we're going to be learning from those. You're going to be learning from that, and just make sure that you don't get upset. So this is a vital component to the learning process, is taking a positive or having a positive response when you make mistakes on anything that you're trying to change. And the fourth part of the learning process is going to be feedback. You really need to get some good feedback as to how you're doing. Obviously, with an experienced teaching pro, he or she can look at what you have worked on and give you some immediate feedback as to how you're doing. Other good players, other well-trained players can do the same if they're not a pro, but I'd be careful with that, because there are lots of good players out there that are not trained in being able to look at someone else and with a trained eye be able to see how you're doing in making those changes. So you need to be careful with that. The other way that you can get feedback is with video, in terms of you've taken some video at the very beginning of when you've made some changes, and now you've gone through a time period of working on those, and now you take some videotape again, kind of a before and after type of situation, and you really can take a look at it and see how you're doing. Obviously, you've got to have a reference of the right information. You have to know where you're trying to get. Whether that's in a CD or DVD or videotape, whatever it is, you need to be able to visually have a reference of, this is the model of what you're trying to copy. And so, if you've got that, videotape is a great way of doing that. And then, once you go through that four-step process, you're now going to go ahead and repeat the process again, which means you're going to go back to step one, which is to go back to your information. And you're going to review it and just review it and try to absorb it again. You may have missed something the first time that you went through it, and the second time you go through the information, you pick up something new. And you go through step number two of the process, which is really, going through that practice time. Are there ways that you could come up with some new ideas, some new drills to work on whatever it is that you're working on? Obviously, step three is, again, embracing the whole willingness to make mistakes, and then that's the best way to learn. And then number four, getting feedback again is where you are now, and then repeating the cycle. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And that's the beauty of this game, is that you can be a student for a lifetime. This game is never going to be a situation where, okay, well, now I've got this, I can now go ahead and stop learning. You will be able to learn about tennis for the rest of your life. So I hope this has helped. Certainly, if you've got any questions, I want you to send me an email. That's the best way to get in touch with me. It's brent@webtennis.net. And good luck out there. And hope to hear from you. Thanks.